All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. It's that time of the week, folks, my key games in the world of college football for the upcoming weekend. I'm going to start off tomorrow night with a big one in the American Athletic Conference as the East Carolina Pirates travel to take on the Cincinnati Bearcats. Now, both of these teams are a part of the logjam at the top of the standings in the AAC. But you look at this East Carolina team under head coach Ruffin McNeil, and they have a very potent offense with quarterback Shane Carden, running back Breon Allen, and wide receivers Justin Hardy and Isaiah Jones. It's not just about the offense for ECU. As you look at linebacker Zeke Beeger with 86 tackles, and DB Josh Hawkins, who has 4 picks. On the flip side for Cincy, you look at Gunnar Keel, and this guy is really coming into his own under head coach Tommy Tuberville. He's already passed for over 2,000 yards this season, along with 20 touchdown passes. But you look at the Cincy defense, led by linebacker Jeff Luke with 88 tackles, and you look at defensive lineman Terrell Hartsfield with 7 sacks. This is going to be a back-and-forth affair, and it's good that it's a primetime affair for ECU and Cincinnati because it gives the AAC a chance to showcase two of their better teams. But I'm going to take East Carolina on the road in this one by the score of 34-27. Now, moving to Saturday, the 8th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes travel to Minneapolis to take on the 25th-ranked Golden Gophers of Minnesota. A potential Big Ten title game preview in this one. It's not what people expected at the beginning of the season, but you look at the job that head coach Jerry Kill has done this year with the Golden Gophers. Now, on the flip side for Ohio State, JT Barrett at quarterback. This kid is no longer a redshirt freshman. He is playing well above his years as he has come in into a hostile situation this year to replace the veteran in Braxton Miller. He has over 2,000 yards passing and 26 passing touchdowns, along with what he can do on the ground as a dual threat quarterback. But it's not just all about him. You look at Ezekiel Elliott and the job that he is doing at tailback this year for Ohio State, and he has an opportunity to get to the 1,000-yard mark in rushing in this game here, and he also has 7 rushing TDs. Now, Ohio State can mix it up in the passing game with wide receivers Devin Smith and Michael Thomas, and on the defensive side of the football, you look at defensive lineman Joey Bosa, who has 10 sacks this year, along with 14 interceptions as a team. Now, Minnesota, it's all about their running game right now with David Cobb. He has over 1,200 yards on the ground and 8 carries, and he is the true definition of a workhorse running back as he already has over 225 carries this season. Now, like the Buckeyes, Minnesota's defense, they are a real ball-hawking unit. They have 12 interceptions this year. But for Ohio State, it was really a shot in the arm for them last Saturday to go on the road in a hostile environment in East Lansing and knock off the Michigan State Spartans. And I think Ohio State has a ton of confidence from that game, and they're not going to look past Minnesota in this one. I think Urban Meyer has the attention of his team, and I'm taking Ohio State in this one by the score of 38-27. Now, down in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the 19th-ranked Clemson Tigers will travel to Atlanta and Bobby Dodd Stadium to take on the 22nd-ranked Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. Now, Deshaun Watson should be back under center for Clemson and head coach Dabo Swinney. He relied on Cole Stout last week as they were able to get the victory over Wake Forest. But right now, it's all about Watson, who is a difference maker when he is on the field for Clemson. You look at the wide receivers for Clemson and Mike Williams and Artavis Scott, and they have the potential to do some big things against this Yellow Jacket secondary. Defensively, Clemson has 35 sacks led by Vic Beasley, but the thing is, you can basically throw that out of the window because Georgia Tech, it's all about that triple option attack on offense, and the guy that keeps it going for the Yellow Jackets is quarterback Justin Thomas, as he is the do-all guy. Now, as a team, Georgia Tech right now is averaging 6.1 yards per carry, so it is going to be important for this Clemson defense to be patient and stay in their lanes and stay true to their assignments, because generally in this option attack, you have to have patience with Georgia Tech. Now, if Clemson focuses on Georgia Tech's running too much, the Yellow Jackets can pick you apart in the passing game with wide receiver DeAndre Smelter. So he is a guy, he could be a difference maker in this game for Paul Johnson and the Yellow Jackets. But in the end, I think it's going to be too much Clemson on the road, and I think they knock off Georgia Tech 38-30. Now, down in the SEC, this is a big one. You have the number one team in the land, the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, who will be traveling to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to take on the fifth-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, not only is first place in the SEC West on the line in this one, but a potential playoff spot for the winner. Now, you look at Mississippi State quarterback Dak Prescott. He's the Heisman Trophy candidate this year, and he is the do-all guy for Dan Mullen and the Bulldogs. It's not just about Prescott in the running game. He has his running mate there and running back Josh Robinson, who is averaging nearly 7 yards per carry, and he has 11 rushing touchdowns. This Mississippi State defense doesn't get enough credit. They have 32 sacks, and they also have 12 interceptions. And speaking of not getting credit, you look at Alabama quarterback Blake Sims. This guy came in, and everybody expected the world of him. He's held his own this season, and he has the Tide once again as a top five team in college football. He's passed for over 2,000 yards, and he has 17 passing touchdowns this year to only 3 interceptions. It's all about getting T.J. Yeldon healthy at running back. Remember, he left the LSU game last Saturday night with an apparent leg injury, and he needs to be back, and he needs to be healthy because, again, Alabama still does not have Kenyon Drake at running back. But between Sims and Amari Cooper, wide receiver, they can definitely pick up the slack. And that's one thing, when you talk about defense, you look at Alabama head coach Nick Saban, he preaches it all of the time. His unit has 23 team sacks, and it's going to be imperative and important for them to keep Prescott and this Mississippi State offense in third and long situations. Why? Because then it makes them one-dimensional, and you have to worry about Mississippi State passing more, and they are not the same team when they pass as opposed to running. This is going to be a tight game. Mississippi State is going to show that they are worthy of that number one ranking, but the bottom line is Alabama at home is a tough act to defeat, and I'm taking the Tide at home by the score of 31-27. Now, a big one in the Big Ten has a 16th-ranked Cornhuskers of Nebraska traveling to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison to take on the 20th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers. Now, first place is on the line in the Big Ten West because you figure both Nebraska and Wisconsin both have won losses in conference play just like Minnesota does, but the winner of this game is hopeful that Ohio State can knock off Minnesota, and then they would really be sitting pretty in the standings in the Big Ten West. You look at Nebraska quarterback Tommy Armstrong, and he's not the same guy when he's asked to pass. He has 13 passing touchdowns to 8 interceptions. But it's all about the health of running back Amir Abdullah. Of course, he has a knee injury, and if he is not 100%, it's going to make things a little bit tougher for Bo Pelini and his squad out there at Nebraska. You look at wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp. He's had a good receiving year for Nebraska, but a lot of that has been predicated off of what Abdullah and the running game have been able to do. Nebraska is getting back to their black shirts reputation this year. 21 team sacks, and they also have 11 interceptions. But the thing is, Wisconsin really does not throw the football. It's all about their power running game with Melvin Gordon and Corey Clement. And Wisconsin can be a physical team defensively as well, as they have 28 sacks. It's all about which team can dictate the line of scrimmage in this one. And it's going to be on the offensive lines to really blow off and win and help, you know, get the running games going and win that time of possession battle. I think the odds are going to be in the favor of the home team and the Badgers. Thus, I'm taking Wisconsin at home by the score of 34-30. Now, between the hedges down in the SEC, the 9th-ranked Auburn Tigers will travel to Athens, Georgia, to take on the 15th-ranked Bulldogs. Now, You look at Auburn, and it's all about Nick Marshall at quarterback, Cameron Artis Payne at wide receiver, and Dakia Williams at wide receiver, Cameron Artis Payne at running back, and that up-tempo offense under head coach Gus Malzahn. Now, Auburn's defense does have 14 interceptions, but make no difference about it. This is an offensive-minded football team that you're going to see. On the flip side for Georgia, you look at quarterback Hudson Mason, who has 15 touchdown passes this season to only 3 interceptions. And Nick Chubb has really filled in nicely in the place of running back Todd Gurley, who is expected to be back in uniform and playing in this game for Georgia. And that's going to be a huge shot in the arm for them. Defensively, Dogs have 21 team sacks along with 11 interceptions. This is going to be a nip and tuck game right here, because you look at Auburn and they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder because they were expected to knock off Texas A&M last Saturday at home and they could not get the job done. Now, they are facing a Georgia team that looked rejuvenated last week when they were able to go on the road and knock off Kentucky. So I think Georgia is going to be able to ride that momentum and they get the 38-33 victory over Auburn. Now, once again in the SEC, it's the Missouri Tigers traveling to College Station, Texas to take on the 24th-ranked Aggies of Texas A&M. Now, you look at Mizzou, they still have 3 conference games remaining, and they control their destiny in the SEC East. They only have 1 conference loss. Georgia has 2 conference losses, and Georgia's game this Saturday with Auburn is going to be their final conference game. Now, Georgia did defeat Missouri in head-to-head matchups this season, but the thing is, if Mizzou wins out, they will represent the Eastern Division of the SEC for the 2nd consecutive year in Atlanta at the conference title game. Now, you look at Mizzou quarterback Matty Mock, and this is a guy that head coach Gary Pinkle can really count on to lead his offense. Defensively, Mizzou has been dominant again. They have 29 team sacks, and you look at the ball hawk in the secondary, and I'm talking about DB Braylon Webb, who has 4 interceptions. Now, for Texas A&M head coach Kevin Sumlin, it's going to be Kyle Allen once again at quarterback. And the thing is, this Aggies offense loves to spread it around to a lot of different people, but none better than Josh Reynolds and Malcolm Kennedy at wide receiver. A&M has 31 team sacks of their own, but Mizzou loves to run the football, so it will be important for A&M's defense to win first and second down to keep Mizzou in third and long situations and allow that crowd down there at College Station to really be a factor in the game. This is going to be a tight one. It's going to be tighter than most people expect, but I'm going to take A&M at home by the score of 38-34. Now in the ACC, the 3rd-ranked Florida State Seminoles travel to South Florida to take on their old rivals and the Miami Hurricanes. Now, this is the last potential speed bump in the regular season for Florida State. You look at quarterback Jameis Winston. He hasn't been as good as last year. That's because the supporting cast around him has not been as good, and he's seeing more pressure than he saw a year ago. He has 17 touchdowns to 11 interceptions, but he still has that deep and good playmaking ability. Now, when he does throw the football, he can still rely on wide receiver Rashad Green, who is one of the better go-to receivers in the world of college football. On the flip side, for Miami head coach Al Golden, he can rely on quarterback Brady Kaya, who's already passed for over 2,000 yards this season, and he does have 20 TDs. But make no mistake about it, Miami's offense revolves around running back Duke Johnson, and this guy right here is a legit Heisman Trophy candidate. He already has over 1,200 yards on the ground, and if he has a big game against Florida State this Saturday, he can really make a name for himself with the Heisman voters. This is going to be a very tight game, but the thing is this. Florida State this season has taken everybody's best punch, and because of that, they found themselves in early holes. This is a situation where Miami needs to get Florida State in an early hole. If it's tight early or Florida State jumps out in front, Miami really does not have that much of a chance. But I think Miami is going to get out to an early lead, but it's not going to be a huge lead. And I think Florida State stays in this game And as they've been doing all season long, in the second part of the third quarter, and of course for the entire fourth quarter, it's their time and they own it. And I'm taking the Noles on the road by the score of 31-27. And finally in the Big Ten, the 12th-ranked Michigan State Spartans will travel to College Park to take on the Maryland Terrapins. Now you have to ask yourselves, can the Spartans bounce back after their tough loss at home last week to the Ohio State Buckeyes? This is a very mentally tough team under head coach Mark D'Antonio. Connor Cook is still a quarterback, and he is a guy that can sling the rock and get it done. But you look at Michigan State, they are still a physical team, and I expect a heavy dose of running back Jeremy Langford in this one. I also want to see if Michigan State's defense is going to get back to that toughness and nastiness that we've seen from them all year. They have 30 team sacks, and they also have 10 interceptions as a unit. For Maryland to stay in this game, they have to win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. If they don't, it's going to be a long night for head coach Randy Edsall and his crew. I think Michigan State walks into College Park with a huge chip on their shoulders, and they are going to take out their frustrations on Maryland, and they're going to win this one by the score of 38-17. Folks, those are my key games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Now, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300poundsofsportsknowledge this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, as I will be recapping all of Sunday's action from week number 11 in the National Football League. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And if you are on Facebook, you can check out the page and like it at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. Once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.